We're joined by John Vining, our representative of the day for the Flying Musicians Association. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. And it would seem that the weather has somewhat prevented you from being able to get your keyboard in here.
It's a big thing. It's a heavy thing. And
called it a digital grand piano.
It is a digital grand, so it's got all the weighted keys, so it feels like a real piano.
I was going to ask, what is that?
Twice as heavy as a keyboard.
I can imagine.
It's in the back of my Trailblazer in the campground, and it's pretty much mudded in.
Oh,
so
understandable.
I'm here without keys. But I got a voice. I can talk to you.
Well, and that's good. You were one of the coordinators of the event last night. Is that correct?
The Ultralight Music Jam.
Yeah.
Flying Musicians Association Ultralight Music Jam.
Tell me a little bit about what that was and how that went.
Well, this is the second year that we've had a music event down at the Ultralight Field. And we have it in our forum tent. And basically, we invite musicians, whoever can fit something into the plane, a flute, a trumpet.
Sure.
We have one guy that has a guitar that breaks down. It has a hinged neck. The engineering of that, being a guitar player, is just amazing.
That has to be a tuning nightmare.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I suppose if you just flip the neck around and tighten it up, it tunes itself. But I don't know. It was an amazing piece of engineering. So it's amazing, you know, what you can get into an aircraft.
Right.
And I mean, you can fly with a kazoo. I think that's all I could carry.
Wax paper and a comb, and you got it down.
So the Ultralight Music Jam took place last night, and in spite of the fact that we had a lake forming around our electronics, we kept having to put boards underneath all the plug strips and everything to keep it from shocking.
Sure.
Right. We did manage to have the event. We had about a dozen musicians sign up to perform. And the tent was packed. We had probably 70 plus people. Last year we had, you know, it was a starry night and people came out of the campground, and we probably had 150 people for our inaugural. But it's now, since we've done it twice, it's a tradition.
Well, and I think had the weather cooperated, you probably would have had a much bigger turnout. I mean, 70 in the rain is pretty good.
I tell you what I heard from people this morning as I was having my coffee over at the barn was that a lot of people sat in their campers, and you know, the music rolls across the green there at our little airfield. So a lot of people just sat in their tents and their campers and listened.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of compliments. People said, "Oh yeah, I could hear the music really clearly." So it's a fun thing. It goes with our new moniker, the Fun Fly Zone.
Nice.
So, yeah, and it was good. I mean, the handful of professionals that kind of led off, got it going, and then people just came up. They sign in like you'd do at any open mic.
Right. So, first of all, John, tell us a little bit about you let's start with you and your music, and then you and your aviation.
Oh, okay. Music. I was trained at the Cleveland Institute of Music as an operatic performer.
Wow.
And spent 10 years living in New York City singing for a living. Huh. And sang with a lot of the major companies around the country, Chicago and New York. And when I met my wife, I decided to retire from opera because it's a 6 to 8 month a year suitcase life. And I'd sung in most of the places I wanted to sing. Sang for a couple presidents, and I felt, it's time to do something else. And I got involved in education, and I'm a music educator, science teacher, and I have a good time doing that.
Okay, back up again. You just said you're a music educator and science teacher.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was one of those people that spent way too much time in college and finished my career with several degrees. So.
Right.
I feel your pain. I have the loans to prove my degrees.
It's interesting. I bring this up because every single one of the musicians that we've had in this week have somehow tied themselves back to math and science. Everyone.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I have a poster on my classroom door. It's a picture of Albert Einstein playing the violin.
Ah.
And it just says, science and music, they just go together.
Nice. What flavor of science, if I may ask?
Well, it's mostly general science. So okay. I teach middle schoolers.
Sure.
So, and I'm a, I try to work aviation into it every chance I get.
Right.
My principal sometimes argues that I show way too many aviation videos. But, you know, it's...
There's no such thing.
No, right. I agree. So I weave the two together.
Yeah, and my wife is a middle school science teacher as well, and she loves coming out here and picking up all the information for, you know, teachers, instructors. And,
oh.
You know, Tuesday was teacher day, and they do their thing over the museum and give you all sorts of cool tools. So, yes, her classroom is also riddled with aviation tiebacks.
Well, you know, this is, you know, we're getting off the topic of music, but, you know, I think if we fly more teachers in some kind of a teacher eagle program,
ooh,
you know, they're going to bring it. I mean, we bring back to the classroom everything that people give to us in our continuing education in the summertime.
Right.
So
that's a very good point. I didn't think of it at that angle, but very good. So that's John Vining the musician. Tell me about John Vining the pilot.
Well, I got, I was one of these kids that always looked up. And when in my hometown, we had a new airport built. I think it was completed in about 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had a colleague who had purchased one of the new hangars there in the GA area. The Kent County Airport was what it was called. Now it's the Gerald R. Ford International Airport.
Well then.
And so when the airport was inaugurated, they had an air show, and the Blue Angels flew, and I watched Bob Hoover fly Old Yeller.
Nice.
And I just couldn't get enough of it. And this same colleague was a CFI. So when I was a teenager, I started flying with him. And when my mother found out that I was actually taking the controls of the airplane, she said, nope, sorry. So I had to wait till I was an adult to finally, you know, complete my pilot training and get my private.
Right.
And so I did that. And then I got into ultralights, and I like to fly low, slow. I like to share the air with the dragonflies. So I fly a powered paraglider.
Ah.
But I'm building an airplane right now. So gotcha. That ties back to education because I'm getting my kids involved.
Nice. What are you building?
I'm building an SD-1 Mini Sport.
Okay.
Skycraft is here. They're the importer, and they're also building.
Gotcha.
They're at Booth 11 if anybody wants to go see them.
All right.
And so I'm having a lot of fun with that project and getting my students involved.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a handful of high schools that have done that, too. They mm-hmm. get a kit and
yeah.
build. I think there was one in Milwaukee that did that recently. If I recall correctly.
Don't point at me. I'm not familiar.
Nonetheless.
Very cool, though. I wish I would have gone to that high school.
I know. Again, we're joined with John Vining from the Flying Musicians Association. And tell us a little bit about the Flying Musicians and who they are, what they do.
The Flying Musicians Association has been in existence for about 5 years. It's an organization of pilot musicians. And the mission is to carry music with us wherever we go, fly, and also to gather young people, get young people interested in music. And, you know, the music is like the sweetener in pulling kids into aviation, engineering, and some of those STEM subjects that we really need them to learn. So there's sort of an education component that we have about 400 members worldwide. Mm-hmm. Right now, and a lot of corporate sponsors.
I noticed in some of the information I was looking up about the Flying Musicians that several different educational activities, the Symphony in the Sky is a correlation between aviation and music.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's available for folks to be able to present to schools or other organizations. Tell me a little bit about that if you can.
I'm not sure if I can talk with any intelligence about that, but
it's how I feel every morning.
Yeah,
so don't feel
it's one of the things that we do. I mean, uh-huh. Flying musicians, not only, I mean, we get a lot of us get together here at Oshkosh, but flying musicians are involved in other air shows and other air events as well. Sometimes we get to play at the AOPA mm-hmm. events, and but wherever a flying musician is, they're carrying this message to young people, to schools and things like that.
Sizable organization too. Got over 400 members now, and I can only imagine that that's on the grow.
Yeah, I think so. Well, every time we have a jam, you know, we get the email addresses from the people who perform with us, and I think everybody that comes away from one of our events feeling like we're a pretty good bunch. And so when we invite them to join, you know, we take that information and pass it on to John Zapp, who's our president, and he contacts those musicians and says, thank you so much for performing with us at Oshkosh, and we'd really like you to join.
Uh-huh.
And so that's one of the ways we grow.
I'm trying to imagine the scenario of the inevitable hangar flying when you get a bunch of pilots together and they start talking about flying and things like that. And that now, and I have a toe in both worlds. I jokingly refer to myself as not so much a flying musician, but a flying producer. I do music production, but you know,
well,
so
he did say they take kazoo players.
I might be able to pull
anyway.
That off.
Yeah, you
I might.
Just barely.
And the accordion. Do you know that I play the accordion?
I did not. I know you have a theremin, though.
I have a theremin and I have an accordion.
Oh,
he does.
The
theremin, a working
is
theremin.
One of my favorite instruments.
I actually have an original theremin built by Mr. Theremin.
Oh my lord, that's like yes. Very impressive.
It is
thank
pretty
you.
Impressive. I've seen it. It's
yes, but nonetheless, so I get in a group of musicians and they start talking about different scenarios and gigs and, you know, this was a really cool thing. Okay, now put those two together and now it's I once flew into this place and did this show or parked on the you know, the side of the tarmac and played this, you know, it broke out my guitar with a hinged neck.
I can only imagine the
hangar flying that happens with this group of people.
Oh, yeah. We all have flying stories and music stories. I used to throw the guitar in the back of the 150 and fly around Ohio to different places where I'd sing for garden clubs and, you know, go do a performance at a school. And it was doubly cool to the kids when they knew that I'd flown in.
Right.
So, flying is still intriguing to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
It's not every day.
Yeah, it has a bit of mystique left to it, you know, yeah. and that's part of the attraction to what it is. So I thank you for stopping in. We have John Vining, a musician in his own right and an aviator, and is representing the flying musicians this morning here on EA Radio. Events coming up for the Flying Musicians, let me see here, August 8th through 10th in Stillwater, Montana, at the Stillwater Landing Splash Inn. I can do that in Oshkosh this morning. Anyway, August 16th through 17th in Lone Rock, Wisconsin, for a fly-in music jam, and August 16th in Spokane, Washington, for the AOPA fly-in, some of the stuff that's coming up here with the Flying Musicians. Thank you very much, John, for joining us this wet, moist morning.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
All right. This is the Morning Pre-Flight, and this is EA Radio.